Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Talk, why won't you listen? Argue, why won't shut, you see? I know the story, just listen to shut, me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
And good afternoon, everywhere in the lower 48 states. This is Spouting Off, and I'm your host, Karen Cataline, just like the good man said. You're tuned to BBS Radio Station 1, and I'm telling you, week after week after week, my biggest problem in planning this show that I love doing so very much is trying to decide what to talk about. It's kind of like, you know, give me 5 hours because there's so much going on. And we never take time to really reflect. I do. I try to. And I know you probably do. To reflect on all that's going on to kind of inform what we do as we move forward. So, among the huge issues, we may or may not get to all of them. I'm just going to start plowing through. And you are welcome to participate. Give me about 15 minutes. But boy, oh boy, if you want to participate in whatever is driving you crazy in the last, I don't know, whenever. I like open lines. I like to have you call in. I don't really want to talk about, you know, if you're frustrated with your car, although, I don't know, maybe there's some significance there. But open lines are always fun, but especially about the kinds of things I'm talking about. And that is politics, and the current issues of the day, of which in these days, politics is... They've politicized tying your shoes these days, so everything has a political bent. And here, we don't try to censor that sort of thing. So if you'd like to join us, you can call me toll-free by calling 888-627-6008, or you can dial direct 323-744-4831. And I thank everyone listening on podcasts, and you may or may not be listening to a show that was recorded and now you're listening, or you may even be calling on the telephone and listening and turning your telephone into a radio. So that's all good stuff. And boy, oh boy, the internet has changed broadcasting, hopefully for the better. So among the things, I can't even say that they're little bites of big issues because, oh my goodness, lots happening. We are expecting news on the House memo, which is on the FISA court abuses. And a lot of people ask, you know, what is FISA? What's FISA again? Actually, it's a duplicate. So it's Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Warrant, and people call it FISA warrant abuses. But actually, it would be a FIS warrant abuse. Nonetheless, people have heard of it as FISA. And FISA is a very, very secret court which has enabled previous administrations to spy on their foreign enemies under the guise of, well, we want to prevent terrorism. But when you have a dishonest, a questionable kind of bureaucrat or politician who has much stronger political desires than they do a concern for the country, those FISA warrants can be abused. And we're going to be talking about that. So if you may know, if you're one of the watchers and if you're listening to this program, I bet you are, that on Twitter, there was a hashtag to release the memo. This memo has shocked the consciences. And that's saying something because we wonder if our politicians have a conscience. But of the Republicans who have seen this memo, they consider it to be a bombshell, I mean, a true bombshell. Now, I'll be surprised if I'm surprised. Why? Because I have always thought, excuse me, I have always thought that what we saw during 8 years of the 44th president of the United States was merely the iceberg, the tip of the iceberg. Because when you have a president who would send boatloads of money to our enemy, Iran, or do an Iran deal, which actually helps them to get a nuclear bomb faster than before, if you lie to the American people about you can keep your doctor and you can keep your plan simply so that you can bring the country closer to socialism, I could go on and on and on and on and on. We didn't see a bottom in that administration, in the lies and deceit and the covering up by the media for the abuses and the overreach. Overreach is really doesn't even begin to cover what we were watching. And we knew, if you were watching, you knew that that was simply what they were willing to do in plain view, which is surprising. They were willing to release five bloodthirsty terrorists out of Guantanamo Bay in exchange for one person they didn't care about, but who reportedly was a converted Muslim and a deserter of the army under the guise so that they could release people who would come back and kill Americans. They're willing to bring in millions and millions of unvetted aliens who hate this country and who hate Americans. I don't know. Call me skeptical, but I don't think I'm going to be surprised by the memo. I'll tell you what really surprises me, and this I was going to come back to this later, but I'm on a roll, so I'm just going to continue. I'll tell you what I find the most surprising of all that we are seeing. We're talking the Uranium One deal that is gnarly on its in its own right. We're talking about Fusion GPS, which put out a most outrageous and full of lies dossier about Donald Trump, both before and after he was miraculously elected president of the United States. We're talking about Hillary's unbelievable number of emails that suddenly disappeared. And wonder of wonders, we've got texts that are disappearing too between two of the players. Nobody knows how to pronounce his name. Struck, whatever. Well, they struck the text between these two lovers in the FBI, and suddenly they can't be found. How ironic that those texts of two key players in this enormous scandal that makes Watergate look like child's play, suddenly those are the texts that get misplaced. Call me skeptical. Anyway, of all of that, what do you think I find the most surprising thing of all? What I find the most surprising thing of all is that any of it's coming out. First of all, it's coming out for one reason, and that's because Donald Trump miraculously won the election and is now our 45th president of the United States. The one that surely, Maxine Waters wants to impeach before he even was inaugurated. She was ready to impeach him. That's not corrupt. I mean, you don't want to give a duly elected president a chance to actually govern. You want to impeach him on charges that he hasn't yet committed. I find that to be one of the all-time greatest. I mean, if it wasn't so serious, it's hilarious. It's hysterical. I don't have an adjective. Anyway, I got to stop saying anyway. The fact that this is coming out and that it's being exposed, one of my favorite words, Hollywood is being exposed, the left is being exposed, the swamp is being exposed, the establishment Republicans are being exposed, and the socialist communist left that used to care about this country are being exposed. The people who have been morally lecturing the rest of us in Hollywood, which I'll get to, they have been exposed in a really big way. And I submit to you that were it not for Donald J. Trump, none of this, I mean, none of this would have happened. At the top of that list, of course, is the fact that, heaven forbid, if Hillary Rodham Clinton had been elected, which is what all of these conspirators expected, you better believe that all of this would have been not swept under a carpet, would have been put in a lead drum and floating in the East River or elsewhere. None of this would have come out, and all the power of the government would have been used to shut it down as quickly as possible. And all of these corrupt players would be sitting fat and happy just about now. Now, one of the great ironies of all of it is that this, everything that we're finding out, everything, and we're just beginning to understand Uranium One. Why is it that we ended up selling, quote, selling, I say that advisedly, 20% of uranium, and $145 million ended up in Hillary Clinton's coffers? Why did we find out that the phony memo was paid for by the Democrat National Committee and Hillary Clinton? Gee, they didn't know anything, did they? So all of this was designed to cheat in a presidential election, to destroy a candidate who was their opposition's, the opposing candidate, to make sure that it would not just destroy his chances of being president, thus making Hillary Clinton president, it would have destroyed him personally and in every way. They wanted to make mincemeat of Donald Trump. The great news is, they just misunderestimated, thank you, George Bush, I'm not a fan, but they misunderestimated Donald J. Trump. In fact, people are continuing to underestimate Donald Trump. It is amazing that they just see what they want to see, and they're not seeing reality. So the great miracle is that all of it was designed to cheat in this election. Similarly, the Clinton administration, the Clinton machine, rather, cheated in order to get the nomination. Look how popular she was. She couldn't even beat Bernie Sanders, and she cheated to get to be the nominee with Bernie Sanders. Don't you always wonder why it is that hard leftists, they were faced with the reality that Hillary Clinton cheats and lies and deceives, but it never occurs to them that she could be doing the same thing to the people that they've been demonizing for so long, that being the Republicans. It doesn't occur to them that, gee, maybe they're lying, that those Republicans that they're lying to us about, maybe they're not as terrible as they're saying that they are. I hope you followed that. It always just never ceases to amaze me how they believe what they want to believe. And when there's evidence right in front of their noses, they still can't tell the truth about it. So none of this was ever supposed to happen because Donald Trump was never supposed to win. And the thing I keep trying to get around to saying, if I would stop diverting myself, is that all that they did didn't work. Trump is president of the United States. A miracle. I'm not a highly, highly religious person, but I'm becoming so, because one of the great miracles that I witnessed in my life is that Donald Trump, the true David against Goliath, prevailed against Republicans, the best they had to offer, prevailed against the Clinton machine, prevailed against the Congress that is designed to try and to shut him down and destroy him. And now he prevailed again yesterday, when Republicans always, they either roll over, or I think they're given the benefit of the doubt. I don't really think they roll over as much as they've been lying to us about what they believe. I really think that they, a good many of them, I mean, how can you say that Lindsey Graham actually acts and believes like a Republican. He cares. He seems to care more about illegal immigrants than he cares about American citizens, as do a good many of the Democrats. So that was supposed to be a preamble to what I was going to talk about later. I just couldn't help myself. So this past week on Saturday, we had the second annual Pussy Hat protest. They were all out in full vagina uniform. You can't make this stuff up, can you? It's just, I've run out of adjectives. They are appalled that Trump allegedly said the word, grab them by the, you know what, the pussy, and yet they dress like them. And then they claim to be horrified and upset. Now, do they ever think that there is a, I don't know, a cognitive disconnect here? Do you think? Do they ever question themselves when they're running around dressed as a vagina, walking down, oh, I don't know, Broadway in Manhattan, getting a whole lot of public accolades for doing so, with their little faces sticking out of the lips? I mean, I've seen pictures. You probably saw pictures too. Do they ever ask themselves, how could I be appalled at a questionable language when I'm walking down the street dressed as a vagina? I don't understand. Do you have friends who did this? Do you have friends who were out there protesting, either dressed as a vagina or claiming that they're more tolerant than everyone else, and that's why they're spitting at people? They are cursing at people. They're spewing hatred. I saw a video. I wouldn't put it on the air, whether it's internet or AM radio. I wouldn't put it on the air. Some of the most foul language. And yet these are the people that hold themselves up as the great moral arbiters of our day. Really? Is that true? And I'm just getting started, man. I'm just getting started. So if you have friends who did this, actually, I got to tell you, I had a friend last year, and I guess she's a past friend because, you know, this is the great modern example of losing a friend. She unfriended me on Facebook. This is a person I went to college with, and she's an opera singer. Of course, I won't use her name, but I used to think that she was reasonable. And after last year, when she does live in the New York City area, very accomplished performer, because I used to be in that business at one time, and she dressed with a pussy hat on her head. And then she said that she could no longer be friends with me, I guess, because I was being unreasonable. I don't know. Yeah, I don't have any liberal friends left. And yes, I can be a little edgy, I admit it. But I don't generally make ad hominem attacks. I prefer logical arguments. And liberals just don't have any. That's the problem. They don't have any liberal arguments. Logical arguments. And for them, emotion suffices as an argument. That's why they're not very good at talk radio. Liberal talk radio has never succeeded, and it probably never will, because liberals know only how to do a few things when it comes to opposition. They either shut them down, call them a racist. Let's see, is there a third? No, that's pretty much it. That's all they pretty much do. Yeah. Shut them down, tell them that they aren't allowed to speak, or call them a racist, or lie about them. That's true. So I feel a different rant coming on. I want to make sure we can get back to this, because this House memo, I have a feeling it is going to drop. It's been kind of a dribble, dribble, dribble for weeks and weeks now. And a lot of us, years and years ago, when I was a lot younger and a lot more naive, I actually watched soap operas. Well, one, just one. I stopped watching it when it had the obligatory gay couple. And it's not that I have anything against gay people. I just thought, you know, when you've politicized everything and you have to politicize silly, inane soap operas, then I'm out. So finally, after many years, I stopped watching it. But this is the best soap opera I've ever seen. This Fusion GPS, Trump dossier, Uranium One, Democrats colluding with the Russians while they're accusing Republicans of colluding with the Russians, but yet there's no evidence. See, the problem is trying to explain this in shorthand, because people who are following it don't need the explanation. They've been following it. And people who don't, people who watch ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, oh God, CNN, and all of the rest of them, the Washington Post, no, yes, the Washington Post, the New York Times, all of those publications and so-called mainstream media, they will not have heard of this at all. They heard about the Russian collusion on the part of Trump, which does not exist. They've never found a shred of evidence. And yet it was nonstop wall-to-wall coverage. That's all they did, is cover that. But yet when the real evidence comes out, they can't find it with a 10-foot pole. That's a cliche, I know. But they can't find it to save their lives. And this is what I had planned to talk about first. And that is, there's so much ready to drop, and we certainly hope so, because, of course, some of the Democrats think that we cannot possibly be trusted with such information, that we can't handle the truth. I don't know which Democrat it was. I've blocked him out, saying that they're all fighting to make sure that there's no transparency, that we will not find out what happened. But hopefully, a little pinky finger of Trump's courage has rubbed off on the collective Republican majority, and they're going to release this memo. We have a right to see that memo, and we have a right to see all the supporting documents, particularly when it is treason and felonies that we're talking about. We're talking about felonious activity and obstruction of justice, covering up for a potential criminal, conniving to make sure that that criminal does not get prosecuted, and interfering in a United States election for the president of the United States, and deciding that you know better who ought to be the next president. Not that there's any, I don't know, personal interest and self-enrichment there, let alone your ideology, which you think is just smarter and better than everyone else's. Those are felonies, my friends. Those are felonies, all of them. So all of that that we have to look forward to, and I think we have, I think that we should be looking forward to it, because shining the light of day on this dark, dark period of corruption and manipulation of our government, of our elections, it just blows my mind. The same people that were screaming bloody murder about the manipulation of our elections were indeed manipulating our elections. So all of that and more to look forward to, including the State of the Union address, which will happen January 30th. And yet we need to look back a bit, because looking backward, we can see the kind of lies and the kind of incitement to hatred and violence and the kind of false reporting. I'm tired of the term fake news, even though that was a Democrat term before Trump brilliantly co-opted the term. But we rarely ask about accountability of the left, of Hollywood, but particularly of the media. I mean, if I could keep a running total of all the articles that I see during a week of things that I think I need to make a library for some of these things. Now, you may remember that Trump did a fake news awards, and I think the very, very first one, the winner was that his name escapes me. It's always when I need the name. Paul Krugman, I think it was, said that the stock market was going to crash. And here we are, over 26,000. Unheard of. Unbelievable. Unimagined by even the people on our side. Didn't think that was possible. Now they're predicting, oh, we're going to have a crash. Oh, we're going to have a crash. These people just, you know, they all need to be kicked out, honestly. They really, really do, except for the a precious few. But looking back on what the media has said and lied about and incited, I got to thinking about this because it was just recent. It was just recent. And yet they drop this stuff on us, lies and lies. They get talk radio people and others to go ranting about it. And then when it turns out to be total falsehoods, total lies, as far off from the truth as it could possibly be, they move on to the next attack. They don't even blink. They don't even blink. I'm talking, of course, about the rather recent charge that Trump is mentally ill. Okay. First, they said he's physically ill. Of course, you know, he's getting Alzheimer's and on and on and on. But now he's mentally ill. Now, you may remember that a week ago, he had a cognitive exam, which he did not have to take, and aced the exam 30 out of 30. But what I didn't hear, now there's a few people out there saying, we don't believe that that doctor, even though that's the same doctor Obama and Bush had. They won't report that. But they say, well, you know, we really just need more information and we need to, like, I don't know, tie the president down against his will and force him to submit to an exam that we would administer. No bias there, right? Here's a headline. Mental health expert slams Trump's cognitive exam and calls for further testing. And the worst was that horrid, horrid woman, Bandy X. Lee, a woman who looked like she had a flat affect. She looked a little hypnotized. I saw her. She is perfectly happy to accuse a president of the United States that she's never met, never interviewed, never met face-to-face of severe mental illness because he doesn't comport with her political ideology. So here's the sub-quote. Lee, another psychiatrist, and Eisen. No, Lee is Bandy Lee. Eisen is another psychiatrist who said that there's ample indicators that additional testing may, that's always the qualifier, be needed. It may be needed. Okay. So after Trump aces this test, most people in the media, just except for a few who dig their heels in, most of them simply pull an Emily Letella. If you remember, I date myself, but Emily Letella was Gilda Radner when they said, what's this I hear about Russian jewelry? If Russians want to wear bracelets, that's perfectly fine. So Emily Letella was always mishearing things. And then at the end, she would say, never mind. And so the media collectively is saying, never mind. We said he was mentally ill, but okay, maybe he's not. We said he was getting Alzheimer's and he aced a cognitive exam that, well, we could probably not pass, but we're just going to move on and start attacking him on something else now. Because nobody, who would be the people, who would be the entities that would hold them accountable to what they said before? Well, the largest would probably be the media. Talk about the fox guarding the chicken house. So the media is not going to police the media. They're not going to say, oh, wow, we really screwed up, even though they do constantly and every day. So they have a psychotic hatred for this president, and they exhibit it every day. One thing about paranoia and psychosis is that it features projection. Now, what's paranoia? I'm using all these big words, but paranoia is the fear that people are after you. But what a lot of people don't understand about paranoia is that the root of paranoia, when you find somebody who is so terrified that people are after him, what's really going on is he's projecting his own hatred onto others. He's disowning his own hatred. He can't handle, he being the universal he. There are women like this too. There's a whole party that does this often. They project their hatred onto others because it's too untasteful to take responsibility for it themselves. So that's why one of the biggest reasons why they demonize the people they hate so badly, because they are projecting their own hatred. I said that wrong. They're projecting their own hatred onto those they demonize, and claim that they are after them. They're claiming that Republicans want to shut down, want to hurt victims. They want to, they're hateful towards people. They want to throw grandma off a train. They want to starve the homeless. All of that is a bunch of hatred. Now, there are people on the inside of this who don't believe a word of that. It's just a political tactic. But the hangers-on that are really attracted to this kind of political demagoguery are people that are attracted to an answer for their own hatred. Remember not too long ago, and I do have to take a break in a minute. I know I'm on a roll. Not too long ago, it was the Democrats that were constantly lecturing us about how we had to be more tolerant and we had to be more diverse. They're still talking about that. And that the reason that we shouldn't hate criminals and murderers and terrorists is because they're really just like us. And we're stereotyping them. We're stereotyping all Muslims. And we ought not do that because that just makes an unloving world. And you know that coexist bumper sticker, right? If we could all just love each other more, then it would be the utopian world that we all know and love, right? Well, they've thrown out most of that in the last 5 to 8 years. They're really not talking so much about love anymore because Trump has exposed their hatred, for one thing, and their hatred has gone completely batty. They've lost their minds. Because after all, if you get crazy over a word that someone says, what are you going to do for rape and murder? You just kind of will blow that part off, right? So anyway, we're going to talk a lot more about looking back and holding the media in particular accountable for some of the lies, some of the untruths, some of the prevarications, and everything else that they have said, even within the space of a week or a space of a month, that shows that no one's holding the media accountable, except, I might say, President Donald Trump. We're going to take a break right now, and we'll be back. Hopefully, if you've got a mind to call, give us a call. Doug, I'm going to give the phone numbers, and then we'll take a break. The phone number, if you'd like to give us a call and disagree with me, if you like. I like that sort of thing. It's talk radio, after all. 888-627-6008. Or you can also call 323-744-4831. You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline here on BBS Radio. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Hadley, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is President of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Arn, on the great principle of equality set forth by the Declaration of Independence.
The great Abraham Lincoln described the Constitution as a picture or frame of silver, built to guard or protect an apple of gold. This apple of gold was the Declaration of Independence and its principle of equal rights for all. This principle of equal rights, Lincoln said, clears the path for all, gives hope to all, and by consequence, enterprise and industry to all. There are many today who seek to limit or distort this great principle by employing a distorted definition of equality, an equality of condition or outcome, regardless how people live their lives. This distortion, if generally accepted, will lead to an America less prosperous and less free.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket constitution and declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askauntemma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askauntemma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Oh, I couldn't wait to get back and get started with more. I have so much yet to get to here. So we're going to continue. I've got to talk about Hollywood, which is leads right into it. So today there were the Oscar nominations. Years ago when I did professional theater, I really always look forward to the Oscar nominations and the Oscar awards. And I was a big buff about Charlie Chaplin, of all people. And I used to study about his life. Very interesting personal life, which, of course, we don't have time to get into. But the Hollywood, do we really need another Hollywood award show where we get to see Hollywood people all decked out and being treated like kings and queens, lecturing the rest of us about how smart they all are and how dumb we all are? I mean, and there's real evidence of this. Wait. I'm sorry. Got to do this. I there was one other thing I was going to mention before I continue with Hollywood. I said I was going to continue, and I'm going to. So not only is Trump getting Alzheimer's, and he's mentally ill. He's totally mentally ill. And of course, he drinks 14 Diet Cokes a day. He couldn't possibly be accomplishing all the stuff he's accomplishing, but of course he is. Is he's borderline obese because he's 15 pounds overweight, right? So he's physically ill. He might wear some kind of a denture. He's physically just not well because of the terrible diet that he has. And he's 15 pounds overweight, and he's mentally ill. I just want you to think for a moment. If the media, if you could live to see a day where the media would say these things about, I don't know, Hillary Clinton, you think that they're going to go after Hillary Clinton and force her to get on a scale, and that she has to have a public weigh-in? Do you know that there was a Democrat who actually offered $100,000 so that to see if they could get Trump to get on a scale? So to call Trump borderline obese because he's 15 pounds overweight, this is outrageous. And unbelievably transparent. Do the Democrats want to be transparent? Well, I would submit to you they've never been more transparent ever. I have never seen them more obvious. And that does lead to, and what about Obama? How long would it take for the media and the entire left to call you or anyone racist, Marsha, for claiming that Obama was unfit to be president? We won't go there. Was dishonest, was conspiring with the Russians, which in an open mic, we actually heard him conspire with the Russians, but the media refused to make a deal out of it. Or maybe that he's getting Alzheimer's at his young age because he couldn't pronounce the word corpsman. He pronounced it corpsman. Or maybe it's that he forgot how many states there were in the United States of America. He claimed there were 57 states. Now, just imagine if Donald Trump claimed there were 57 states. They'd be calling for his head. And nobody, I mean, to call it a double standard, you can't even begin to talk about, okay? It ain't a double standard. It is a willful manipulation of public opinion so that the average person has absolutely no clue what's true and what's not. So getting on to Hollywood, do we really need another Hollywood award show? I am sick to death of Hollywood award show. I don't watch them anymore, but I do love hearing after the fact what was said, because these people are some of the most pampered, ignorant, stupid, oblivious people I have ever seen. And I have to say, I dare say, I don't talk about it much. One day I will talk more about it, about having been a professional in the showbiz world and how I never really did fit in. Of course, I never really fit in anywhere. I mean, a Jewish Republican, I mean, that's the very, that's the very definition of being a minority within a minority. But I always found myself among liberal groups. I wasn't as political then as I am now, but I also was never a liberal. And the values coming out of Hollywood, I loathed Hollywood. I loathed California. And I was told, well, you know, for your career, you got to do this. You got to go there. I lived in New York for 13 years and Los Angeles for a very, very unhappy almost two. And the phoniness and the superficiality was more than I could bear. And there's just no lie that's too big to tell in LA. Now, does that mean everybody's like that? No, but there is a culture of lies in Hollywood and in Los Angeles and in California in general, but a culture of lies that reveres superficiality and throws the truth out with yesterday's trash. That's my opinion. So, apropos of that, I have a quote by Meathead himself, Rob Reiner. Quote, "Make no mistake, this shutdown boils down to one thing, racism." Marsha. "GOP is frightened to death of the browning of America. They will lose this last big battle of the Civil War. Diversity is our strength." Really? So diversity is your strength, but not diversity of opinion, right? So diversity means what color you are, because we're all into appearances here. But if you dare to state a different opinion, Rob Reiner, then we're going to crush you, right? So I found this other article that I thought was, again, apropos, the title of which, it's by someone named Selena Zito. And I don't have the place I found it. I gotta start doing that. It's why liberal elites are so resentful of middle America. And she writes, some Americans just don't need much. They don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to have a 1,500 square foot house, watch football, and go to church on Sunday. They don't want to leave their hometowns to come to Silicon Valley or Washington, D.C. or Manhattan. They place great value on community and living near family and carrying out our family traditions. So the disdain with which these incredibly wealthy people, and incredibly wealthy by virtue of the free market system in the United States of America, but they have great disdain for those people. So there was a woman who actually admitted it. Now, this article is January 11th, 2017. And first, she said that middle America needs to realize that no educated person wants to live in an S-hole with stupid people. Now, this was said the 11th, excuse me, of January, before Trump said his horrible, horrible S-hole remark. I find that ironic. So, you know, she's saying that anybody who lives in middle America is stupid, is ignorant, and they live in an S-hole. Never mind Haiti, right? So how ironic that they're the ones who think Americans are too materialistic. They're socialists, for heaven's sake. Huh? This cognitive dissonance is hilarious to me and just fascinating. They get to be hypocrites because they're better than us, right? So they need to separate middle America from their meager incomes, which they earned. Okay, actors who earned millions and millions of dollars, I don't begrudge them their millions. But isn't it interesting? They're the ones, because they do feel guilty about what they make, they have to become socialists and leftists because they never count themselves in the great unwashed that they see out there. They never do. And only now, in the age of Trump, the one who exposes phoniness, exposes superficiality, who knew that it would take a billionaire who would finally pull back the curtain on this kind of hypocrisy and phoniness in Hollywood? We always knew it, but we never really saw the evidence of it. Now we're seeing the evidence of it. It's really quite astounding. So my feeling is I ain't going to watch the Oscars, and I didn't watch the nominations. It's just a bunch of people congratulating themselves and listening to themselves speak. And what do they do for a living? They try really hard to look natural. That's what they do. I don't know if I've said, I'm beginning to lose track now, whether I said this before, but George Burns once said, being real is what acting is all about. If you can fake that, you've got it made. So that's pretty much, I love that quote. I really, really do. Because truly, when I took acting classes and stuff in college and whatever, that's what acting was all about. It was about trying to look as natural as you could while you lied. I don't think they would know a truth if they tripped over it. I really don't. So there is so much to cover. But in our last few minutes, I want to get to the notes that I made as to, well, why do they want to distract us so much? What is it that they don't want us to see? Well, for one thing, the left, I'm saying the, I always say they, and I'm talking about them in a collectivist sense, but I do want you to know that I qualify that, because not every individual thinks this or believes this, but in terms of strategy, it's a chess game. It really is. So the left strategists, and they're running out of strategy big time. My guess is after the last loss in the government shutdown, which was designed to blame on Republicans and Trump, they're going back into their smoke-filled rooms with George Soros and all the rest, and they're trying to come up with yet another attack on Trump. It hasn't occurred to them that they still haven't worked. It hasn't occurred to them that it ain't working. So, first off, they want to cover up the fact that the economy is booming. They want to cover up the fact that the stock market is over 26,000. They want to cover up the fact that Trump has not been separated from his base. As a matter of fact, I would submit, I don't care what the polls say, that more and more people, either secretively or outwardly, are beginning to see that the left's got nothing. They're also beginning to see that the changes and the work that Trump has put into winning overseas, truly winning. All of a sudden, you've got Kim Jong-il talking to the South Koreans. When do you think Obama could ever have made that happen? You've got amazing, extraordinary things are happening in just a year. Things we couldn't have imagined. We couldn't have imagined a stock market over 26,000. We couldn't have imagined us starting to see, us seeing a push for modernity in Saudi Arabia. Could you ever imagine that that might happen? Or that we would support the opposition and the protesters for freedom in Iran when Obama supported Iran? Nobody in the media questioned that. So I don't believe there's a blue wave on the way. And I that doesn't mean it couldn't happen. And I don't like making predictions. But at least I don't believe that the people pushing that don't have an agenda. They hope if they report it enough, it's going to happen. And Trump is racing against time to show his prowess, his good sense, and his opponents want to shut him down as fast as they can because the bombshells coming are going to be and are already huge. Now, if Trump has been able to accomplish this much in a year, watching television 12 hours a day and drinking a Coke or 12 Diet Cokes a day or whatever they accused him of, none of which is true, not even close, then I say, hey, bring on the Diet Coke, because it's more leadership, more prosperity, and more success than we ever possibly could have seen with the previous president, who clearly was making taking actions in every which way he could to not just bring parity with America to other countries in the world, but actually destroy America the way it was founded to be, as a bastion of freedom, as a bastion of individual personal responsibility, and a government that is restrained in order to protect those freedoms. That's what our country is about. Oh, by the way, I get to tell you this too, because I'm almost done. So, well, let me just say, Trump is racing against time, and we need to support him in every way we can, because we hope and pray that that light will be shown on these things that are coming out on Fusion GPS and all of the rest. And the memo has got to come out, hopefully, so that the media cannot avoid it anymore. They will avoid it. They just don't have the monopoly that they used to. And when I said there's a bastion of freedom and that kids are not being taught it, well, next week I have the pleasure of being at Hillsdale College, physically at Hillsdale College, doing a CCA conference, and that stands for the Center for Constructive Alternatives. This is one of the best deals going. You know that I love Hillsdale College. Hillsdale College is featured in our commercial breaks because it is a marvel and a wealth of information and education, not just for brilliant college students, but also for adults. They offer tons of constitutional classes because this population, this generation, and I mean all of them, we need education to keep our Constitution alive. If we don't know what it says and what it means, we can't possibly protect it and preserve it. And there is a new, there's a surge of interest in the Constitution because we had a president who so virulently hated everything the Constitution stood for. And I believe that. You can't divine what people are saying, but his philosophy and his ideology, clearly, socialism is the antithesis of free markets and free market capitalism. It says we can do it better than you, and we're going to shut you down if you don't agree. That's basically what it is. We're going to bribe you with crumbs. And then if you don't accept it, we're going to come down later with an iron fist and make sure that you do it our way. All regimes of that kind have led to terrible, terrible things. So anyway, I'm going to look into being able to broadcast from Hillsdale College, hopefully. I'm hoping that I can broadcast live and have a couple wonderful, esteemed professors to join me as I talk about not only all the stuff I'm learning. This one is going to be about the 60s, and it's going to feature Larry Elder, who I love and who I came up with a something that he used on his show. I called him my aphrodisiac. And he happens to be a black conservative. I have a soft spot in my heart for black conservatives. And so I'm going to remind him of that when I see him. And Amity Schles, who's a distinguished writer on World War II. And she's going to be speaking, as well as a lot of Hillsdale professors, on the 60s. an amazingly eventful and a time filled with upheaval. So join me next week. If not, we'll do a repeat episode and you'll have the Hillsdale episode elsewhere. We're working on that now, but I think we might be able to broadcast from Hillsdale if possible. So please join me next week. Thank you to Doug for doing wonderful work in the engineer's booth. And thank you to my friends who help and make this show possible, including HW, the guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. So tune in next week on Tuesday at 2 Mountain, 4 Eastern, when there will be, oh my goodness, a lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.